Have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever in your life felt like you didn't like where you were? You didn't like the circumstances? You didn't like the work you had to do? You didn't like the conflicts you had in your circumstances? You felt trapped and you didn't know what to do, where to go, how to get out. We actually had the door open for the air conditioning, but she's got the windows open. So I think she's got good weather in there, Lord willing. I don't know, what does that sound like, to feel trapped in your circumstances? And what I mean by that, and I'm speaking to Americans, and I'm speaking to free people. But I think all of us feel like we're trapped in our circumstances from time to time. I can't do anything. I can't make any more money, but I can't pay all my bills. I can't pick up and leave because I can't afford it, but I hate being here. This town bothers me. This family of mine bothers me. I want to get away, but I can't because, and I can go through the list, I'm stuck. I suggest to you that if you have not experienced it, you will. It's more or less the human condition. And all we need to do is live life to find ourselves in those places where we're stuck. And all we want to do is rise above that and be free. And so we think, oh, if I had the money, I could just buy a big place and go and not have to worry about a job. I could be free of this, or I could go to California and enjoy the nice weather. Some people think that way. It's never really been in my mind, but or I could go to Vermont, or I could go to Florida. I could go wherever that I think is a better place, and I could buy a big place, and I could be there and enjoy everything. What Solomon tells us is I had all that. I did all that, and it's worthless. It's worthless. It's vanity. It's useless. It didn't give me what I wanted. Now, he's a guy who doesn't feel trapped. He's got the money to do anything he wants. He doesn't feel trapped. He feels empty. Those of us who feel trapped are the norm. He feels empty. Did you notice that he owned slaves? Interesting. What do those people feel? They feel trapped. And they are really trapped. They're not just Americans who can't leave their job because they don't think they'll find another one. They can't leave because they can't leave. And they have to do whatever they're told. They are completely trapped. And the slave gives us a tremendous insight. Tremendous insight. God speaks to the slave and redeems the slave right where he is. Now, a lot of African Americans who are the sons and daughters, the descendants of slaves, are not happy with some of the verses in the New Testament that speak to slaves. They're not. And that's understandable, isn't it? Because you have a heritage of being in slavery. Not only that, but you currently, today, suffer attitudes, hatred, bigotry, left over from all of that. So their goal is social justice, and they pursue that. Well, it's totally understandable if your family was in slavery. But the key thing that they miss, and I wish they did not, and that we should grasp, is that they're not slaves. Their forefathers were, and foremothers. They're not. So what are they doing? They're seeking justice. This God calls each of us who are free to seek justice in this world. But what does he say to the slave? It gives us tremendous insight, because there's a method of redemption that God has chosen, and it's for each and every one of us, because every one of us is a slave, whether we like it or not. But the fact is, we're Americans, and we have money, and we can, when we want to, we can get up and, gosh, you can go at 11 o'clock at night and get some ice cream, because you feel like it. You're free, right? And of course, you know, used to be $3, now it's $5 or $7, but for some ice cream. But you can probably afford that. So you feel like, oh, I can do this. But why do you want ice cream at 11 o'clock at night? Because you feel trapped and you want something sweet. You want something to transcend your circumstances. You want out. The United States is an enormous drug problem. It's huge. Why? Everybody wants out. They feel trapped. The New Testament, people criticize because it doesn't say to the slaves and to the people right then and there, abolish slavery, get rid of it. Slaves, fight your way out, rebel. Why not? Well, rebelling is a quick way to die in the Roman world as a slave. So that would be odd if God said just, you know, commit suicide in effect. But the other thing that the New Testament and the Old Testament doesn't eliminate, doesn't abolish, is war. War and slavery. They're the two biggest ethical problems that a just person has to challenge. No, it's not a just war. We should not attack. Is Russia attacking Ukraine just? Most of us don't think so. The Ukrainians certainly don't. Most of us don't think so. So just people critique war. Why doesn't the Bible get rid of it? Why doesn't the Bible say absolutely no war, absolutely no slavery? No, you don't read that. What you read in the Bible is war and slavery. The reason I believe is because you and I are slaves, and you and I are at war. We're in a war. And if we don't have warfare and slavery in the world so that we comprehend what it is, we don't really know the circumstances of our spiritual lives. We're not going to relate to it. We are going to think we're free, and we're not. We're in bondage. So what does God say to us who are in the bondage of this world? The Greeks said the body was our prison. Plato, the body is our prison. So this idea of us being in bondage, all of us, is very ancient. But is he right that the body imprisons us, or is it much bigger than the body? And today we're thinking, our scholars think, the body is connected to society. So our prison is being with us in this place. It's being among our culture, among the people of our culture, and not able to break free of it. I was looking in the mirror this morning and looking at this and thinking, why do I have this? And I said, you know, one of the reasons I have this is to say, I don't care. And it's not that I don't care for you, but I don't care for the standards of our society. I don't care for people saying, you know, you should be this way or that way or the other thing. I have hair that grows out of my face. I let it. I don't care. What am I doing? I'm expressing I want to be free of this that I'm in. The world has each of us trapped. We're a slave. But it's more significant than that. It's more pernicious than that, because you are part of the world. Your heart connects you to the world. And you and I are trapped because of our heart in this nexus of humanity that has fallen from God. We're trapped. So what does the Lord say to us who are slaves? The same thing that he says to the slave in this world. And that's why the passage where he speaks to the slave in this world is so instructive for us. It's key. It enables us to really see what's going on. What we did over the last couple of weeks in going through the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, we started out describing how Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And in saying that, we mean he's not Lord in the heavens. He's Lord in the earth. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of all authority and all power. He is Lord. And that is the lesson. It's the prime lesson. He created all things, and he is Lord of all of that. So from, you know, the nematode to the president, he is Lord. There is no distinction. So living our life with him as Lord means he is primary and above all things, but he is also in and through all things. And so I can submit to who he tells me to submit to. And he tells me to submit to authority. He is Lord of it. And that means my boss, right? I don't know about you, but I've had some terrible bosses, really bad ones. And also I've had some wonderful ones. But you know what's true about bosses? Just put in your time, because they'll go. They are going to change. When you get a bad one, just put your head down, do your work, you get another one. Workers are far more long-standing than bosses. But that's here in this world, it's just a truism. But the fact of the matter is, you can be working for a person that, number one, you might not like, but number two, they truly might be a horrific manager, director, boss, whatever. How do you deal with that? Because you're gonna feel trapped and you want out. How do you deal with that? How do you be a person who really acts responsively and acts like a person who wants justice in the world, who has the composure, the self-control to submit to an ungodly boss, a tyrant, a mini Napoleon, and do it in a way that's gracious? How do you do that? Paul, as he's told us about Jesus being Lord, and then he's told us that the key, the all knowledge, the treasures of all knowledge and wisdom are in Christ alone. He's told us those things and told us, he's warned us, don't get trapped by anything else. only look to Christ in all things. We are the image of God, have nothing between you and God. He's told us these things, and he comes to this very practical chapter 3 in Colossians, and he starts out, if then you have been raised with Christ. And he's told us in chapter 2, that's exactly what happens. You've been raised with him by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and being baptized, which completes your act of faith, because now you're in the community of God. You are one with Jesus Christ, not only internally, but as you connect with this nexus, with your heart, to a new humanity in the church. You're baptized in Christ, you are raised with him. So if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now, how do you do that? And I've probably told you this before, but it's just burned into my mind. This wonderful little naturalist video of a bunch of, not caribou, but animals that graze up in the frozen tundras of the north. Very similar to caribou. And the commentator says you can always tell when one of these animals forms an intention. And here they're all grazing, and then all of a sudden one looks up and he starts running. That was the intention, and he just runs over to another spot and starts grazing. But an intention, action. He wanted to do it. It's just this picture of what it takes to actually do something. Seek the things that are above. It takes our heart. Seek it. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hands of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. So you and I exist, and we exist in Christ. We are. That's our being. But what about our knowing? What do we know? And he's calling us, exhorting us, to use our hearts to lift them up to the things that are above. So with this new being that he gives us through our faith in him, we are to act to lift up our mind. Seek the things that are above, transcendent, beyond this world. Where do you seek those? We'll get to that. Not on the things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And he goes on to a wonderful section of what they call paranesis, command, ethical commands. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. So your hope, your expectation is beyond something to happen in the future. And then he starts with this long paragraph of putting to death, and follows it with a paragraph of putting on. Put to death all of these activities, and then put on these virtues. Put to death, in the other passages similar, crucify. And that's very violent. And there's a sense in which that violence is appropriate, of course, because you and I have passions that need to be put to death, and the act of putting that to death in ourselves is a bit violent. We have to be rough with ourselves. We do it, and we do it. But this word here adds another flavor, because this word put to death here in Greek simply means deaden. Deaden. Now, when I was a young man, I worked at a job one time and with a colleague, and the colleague had scleroderma, which is a hideous disease. Scleroderma is the sclero from rock and derma from skin. It's the skin of your body turning to rock. And then it goes deeper into your flesh until the whole of your body is dead. And so his scleroderma had started, and it started in his hands and was working up. And he said, eventually it will take my arms, and it, when it gets to my chest, then I will die. And his the part of his hands that had turned to rock were, I mean, it's an apt word. They're pretty much hard and dead. It's a horrible disease, but it happens slowly. And his internal perceptions of this is a numbness that moves to nothing. So he has no responses from his nerves, from his, it's a deadening. Deaden, therefore, yourself to what is earthly in you. Whether it be crucifixion in a violent way or a slow deadening, put it to death so you don't feel it anymore. You increasingly don't feel it anymore. Ignore it to the point that it goes away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. You might need to crucify that in yourself if you're from New York and you speak, you know, a lot. Like, what's his name? My cousin Vinny. You might want to deaden that. And that first phase of saying, okay, I'm not going to talk like this anymore might be harsh and violent. But as you develop the habit of not speaking that way, you feel less and less the inclination to do so. And so here Paul is doing this, put to death and then put on these other things. I've worked through in terms of pornography for young guys. You think getting rid of the pornography, getting away from it, not doing it is a solution. But it isn't. Because you need to do something with your life. You need to get rid of one thing and do something else. Because you've got a whole portion of your life that needs to be replaced now with something else. You need to put off and put on, not one or the other, both of them. And so there's wonderful teaching in these two paragraphs. And then we get to the third paragraph down here, and it goes through its list of household situations, wives, husbands, children. And he comes to, and we have, even in our ESV version, we have a... No, what's the word when you choose a word to make it sound nice? There's a word for that. You know, instead of saying, yes, my father, pardon? I'm sorry? Yes, a euphemism, thank you. You're saying something nice, pleasant, in place of something that's more raw. So many times people, my father passed. Instead of just saying, yes, my father died. It's a euphemism. Well, bondservants is a euphemism. It's a nice one, but it's a euphemism. Because the word is simply slaves. Slaves. Obey everything, in everything, those who are your earthly masters. A former slave, the son or daughter of a slave, finds this offensive. But in the circumstances of my slavery, in the place that I live, and I can't do anything to change it, this comes as the word of God, and it comes with the power of redemption. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. all out. Do what you have to do. Don't question it. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing not the master, the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. I'm not here for you. I don't care about you in that way. But I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything that you say, and I'm going to do it heartily as for the Lord. Wow. That serve, that slave is now a witness without saying a word. Because I am an evil master and I'm cruel, and here this man is doing everything to me that I want, and he's doing it graciously, and he's doing it with a smile. He's doing it, and he's not doing it for me. And there's nothing I can do to crush him. How is that possible? Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. That's the way of redemption, because we don't live here anymore. We live there. And we live for him in our slavery. We're free. That's freedom in Christ. Now, it may be the door's open. It may be that we'll get out. In Virginia, Northern Virginia, lives a man, Tom Torrance. Maybe with an A. Thomas Torrance is a famous theologian from Scotland. Tommy Torrance spells his name differently, and it may be with an A, Terrence, I forgot. He was a young man in the state of Mississippi, and he got trapped in Ku Klux Klan thinking and activity. And so he was molded by it, and he hated Jews. And he hated blacks. He hated everybody that the Ku Klux Klan hates. And Torrance went and planted a bomb in a Jewish man's home. And as he was driving out, or walking, I don't know the scenario there, coming out the driveway, he was intercepted by police, arrested, and put in prison. And they found the bomb. It didn't go off. He was convicted, and he was in prison for however a long term. And so now he's a man filled with hate, and he's put in solitary for 2 years. Right? This is the epitome of being trapped. He's alone for 2 years, but he had the New Testament. And so he started to read it. And God got a hold of him, changed him. He converted to Jesus, trusted him, gave his whole self to him. And when he got out of the solitary, still in prison, he began to serve the black prisoners. I don't know that there were Jewish prisoners in there, but he began to serve them, he began to love them, and he modeled this passage. a man came to see him and visited with him. A few weeks later, he came back, kept doing that for a couple of years. And he struck up a friendship with the man. The man was the governor's assistant, one of the assistants to the governor. And the man was Jewish. The man, in fact, was the Jewish man whose home he had went to bomb. And he had heard that Terence was a Christian. And so he wanted to see for himself what this was all about. And so he visited and became his friend, watched him, observed him, and knew him. The governor of Mississippi, some years later, had to get rid of a lot of prisoners in their prisons because they were overcrowded and they had to commute sentences. And so he gave the order to draw up a list of prisoners that deserved to have their sentences commuted. And his assistant put Tommy Terence on the top of the list. And the governor looked at it and said, "No way will I let this bomber go." And his assistant told them the whole story. And so he reluctantly signed it. Tommy Terence walked out of prison. He's the head of the C.S. Lewis Society now in Northern Virginia. God does provide ways out for people. If they don't expect it. Because all of us are trapped, and his method of redemption is sufficient. Even if we live our lives to the end without physical in this world release. Because our redemption is not in this world, but beyond it. Lift up your hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.